expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Being Found Show, the greatest one-hour terrestrial slash podcast radio show about small business in the entire world.
That's right.
I'm working on my drama.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
Great. we are a show helping small business to get found on the web, and that's what we're going to help you do today. You know, first up, we got a little bit of local news for our local listeners. There's a giveaway here in town.
Yeah, just to let everyone know, literally starting 6 minutes ago, Reiner Slaughter is giving away 1,000 life jackets to children under the age of 14. So if you've got kids under 14, go to their office. You can go to their website and find out all the details there. But free life jackets. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, for people not from the area, they may not know that we are really sort of based in summer tourism because we're surrounded by lakes, and this is a real nice thing to do here locally.
Yeah. And, the whole thing is to promote boating safety, so.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Good deal.
All right. So up here on the Being Found show today, we've been asked to sort of cover backlinking and how to get started and really what backlinking is. I feel like it's one of those buzzwords I'm constantly talking to clients or people, and they're just, how many backlinks do they have? You know, they always want to know how many. We got like 5 new backlinks. Sorry. And the idea of like having the backlinks is everybody's looking for a quantifiable number, and we all tend to be. It's just, as you dig deeper, you know, what is that quantifiable number, you know? So it's really not the amount of backlinks. I mean, you could have 5 terrible backlinks that could straight up hurt you. Mm-hmm. But maybe we should explain what a backlink is. I think the word itself is somewhat self-explanatory. But so you got your website, and there is another website with a link on it that links back to you. That, in its simplest form, is what a backlink is. And then to help people understand how backlinks help you, I figure we should probably cover that as well. My easiest way to explain how SEO works to help people understand is, on the most rudimentary level, you think of your website as a colander. And there's 2 ways to hold liquid in the colander. There's pour more liquid into it, and there's plug more holes. So on-site optimization, when you go through your website and you do little things to make it great, you're plugging holes. And when you're doing stuff that's not on your website, you're pouring more juice into it. And really, bottom line is, if you have more juice in your colander than your competitor, you're going to get more traffic. But that being said, there are some backlinks that are maybe like pouring acid in there. Poking more holes, you know. Yeah. But it's really, really rare. You know, people are always talking like, we're going to disavow links. We're going to go through. We're going to do all this stuff. You know, Google doesn't really penalize you for the little stuff. You know, they really kind of come through, and they tend to warn you when they do, you know. So there's not a lot of blacklisting going on. People would have you believe that. So our show today, backlinks, what they are, how it's important. So, we've told you that. We've told you how they work. And so when you're listening to your SEO company, you're going to hear a lot about citations. What a citation is, as opposed to a backlink. Now a lot of citations come with a link, but a citation is like, don't think about getting pulled over for driving too fast. Think about, a book, citing another book. Mm-hmm. So, any mention of your business on another site that isn't linked back is what's considered a citation. And these citations are mentions, you know. Normally a citation is more like a profile or something like that. A mention might be that somebody's talking about you in a big paragraph and they happen to mention you. So this show is basically going to cover a lot of the strategies for really getting started with backlinking, expanding on that a little bit, and then maybe some more advanced stuff. But before we get into that, we definitely need to throw out there that the best way to build backlinks is by creating quality content, creating a need or fulfilling a need, you know. So if you write a great article and a bunch of people share it and a bunch of people talk about it and a bunch of people link back to it, you know, to hit you with the buzzword if it goes viral, you know, there is no better backlinking situation than that. Because a lot of backlinking, you know, you're manually going out there and you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You got a big list of sites and you're going through and you're saying, hey, please, 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 please. You know, but if you write this great stuff, you know, all internet users are consumers, you know. Here, Jake and I are creators, but so I'm sure we all fall victim to clickbait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in SEO, we have what's called linkbait. Basically, we've created something, we've created an article, we've created a resource, something that's funny for our industry, and it caused people to see it, link to it, share it, linkbait. You know, so. That is really ultimately the best way to do things. But the rest of the show is really going to dig through how you get started because, you know, there's this like a reverse point of no return, this point where you could have the greatest, funniest idea that everybody's going to like and everybody's going to share. And you can put it out there, put it on your website to no traffic, and share it on your Facebook to your grandma and your aunt. And really, it's just not going to go anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there's definitely the foundational stuff that you kind of have to do to create those audiences and create those create an environment where if you do create this great content, people are likely to pick up on
it. Yeah, so you can't fake it. It's got to have some value.
Right.
And
you have to have somebody to show it to.
Yeah.
You know, if nobody comes, you know, the internet is it's ridiculous, Field of Dreams. But if you build it, they will come is not the case on the internet.
Yeah.
Right. It's about as likely as you building a baseball field in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of a middle America and having it be super populated by people from all over the world, including dead guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, I heard that happen.
Right. It's about as likely. It's about as likely. All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk about your first step to creating backlinks for your website. You know, if you're a business owner, this is still interesting because you can make sure that your SEO company is doing these things. Come on back. You're listening to The Beaten Found Show.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and, of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Open 7 days a week.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program. Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, President and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Have you ever tried ordering flowers from a 1-800 company, only to be disappointed by what shows up? Why not try us? We are Liberty Florist at 810 Lake Boulevard. We are Master Florist certified, delivered to all the Reading and surrounding areas, and our top priorities are customer service and the quality in our products. If you'd like $50 worth of flowers, that's what you'll get. No service fees, no middleman. So call us, Liberty Florist, at 768-1544. Check us out at libertyfloristreading.com or stop by at 810 Lake Boulevard.
We want you to camp. We want you to hear. We want you to dance. Dance all night long. But when the music starts.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. We're talking about backlinks and creating backlinks for your websites. And, you know, even right down to SEO companies and marketing companies, they have a hard time doing backlinks.
Yeah, it's tough work.
You know, backlinks is like the jump from local marketing to national marketing, and the jump from highly competitive local marketing, because a lot of the ranking factors for local, basically there's much more important ranking factors for local until you start hitting this competition level or unless you're able to get these really massive backlinks. You know, so for local, as long as you're focusing on reviews and your citations and on-site optimization, you got all that wrapped up, but you're still not getting up in there, you know, that's when you start focusing on some backlinks and making sure that, you know, you're doing some battle. You know, as ridiculous as this sounds, really marketing in general, especially on the internet where it's numbers and quantifiable and stuff like that, you know, in the real world, it maybe gets a little more abstract, but in the virtual world, it really is a strategic battle of numbers.
Yeah, very trackable.
Right. Yeah. You know, and what your enemy has, you know, you need to have too. They have 10 troops, we need 10 troops, but we need that 11th troop with a bazooka.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure how to put it. I don't know my warfare. All right, so up here we got cleaning up what you have. So your website inevitably has some backlinks out there, and really a big part of this is taking those backlinks and really finding out where they are and where they aren't. That sounds ridiculous, but maybe I'll just explain how to do this, and this will come through in what exactly it is. So in Google, there's things called search operators. So, like, let's say I want to go to the dance, and I search for I want to go to the dance. And I get a bunch of results, and they're not what I want. And but I want to make sure that the word dance is included in all of the pages. So I say I want to go to the dance in quotes. I put dance in quotes. And that word dance will show up in all of my results no matter what. Now, if I put I want to go to the dance in quotes entirely, I will only get results that contain the phrase I want to go to the dance. Mm-hmm. And this is what we use to really sort of find where our backlinks are. So we search for our own business name. And then if you have a site with a reasonable amount of content on it, there's also a search operator to exclude your own website. So you don't have to go through those URLs. So now we're left with a list of websites that mention your business by name. And then we start going through those. We start looking at each one of those, and we say, is this business information right? Is there a link here? Is the link correct? You know, we make sure that all of these are cleaned up, and we check them off. Another thing that you need to remember is that we're going through and we're making sure that these things are right,
mm-hmm.
meaning there might be a lot out there that are wrong. So if you put the quotes on there, you might want to loosen that up and even put variations of your business name or
an old business name.
Or an old business. Oh, especially an old business name, yeah. If you haven't done that cleanup, if you made a change like that or you purchased the company.
Yeah, if you're an LLC, try it with, without. There's going to be a lot of different variations out there you want to check on.
Right. And so you basically just want to go through and verify. You're going to find that a lot of this stuff is actually accurate. But that's good to know. It's good to know that it's out there and accurate. But you're also going to find quite a few situations where it is not accurate. To me, what I tend to find that's not accurate has little to do with backlinking, but it does have to do with your trust factor and reputation is the phone number. It's always mm-hmm. some sort of screwy combination of, oh, that's my personal number. Oh, that's our Google Voice number. Oh, that's the old office number. You know, it's like they don't have a set number that they use, or it's constantly evolving with technology, you know. Because, like, I was giving my phone number to somebody last night, ran into an old friend, and his wife, he can't figure out how to work the phone, apparently. Sorry, Scott. So his wife's putting it into the phone, and she asked me, as she's putting it in, she's all, this is mobile, right? And I'm just all, I totally forgot there was anything other than mobile.
Like, nope, that's our landline.
Yeah, I haven't had a landline in, like, years, you know. Basically, I had a landline until I think my youngest kid got a cell phone when she was, like, 10 or 11. So that was, like, 7 years ago. So I haven't had a landline for 7 years, but.
I do want to add one thing, and this is an issue that I've bumped into recently that you kind of just touched on, and that is that we have a client who has some pretty sophisticated marketing set up on their website. So depending on where you come to the website from, it changes the phone number in the header. Google picked up on this and changed it in Google My Business. Mm-hmm. So we had to call them and say, hey, why did you change our phone number? And they said, well, this is the one we found in your header. But when we get on, it's actually a completely different phone number. Is there? Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, I definitely can. And I would say that make sure that so what this is call tracking. And so there's a JavaScript sort of thing going like, if the referring URL is this, then show this number, right? So mm-hmm. they probably have some sort of Google AdWords that has a call tracking number. And basically Google got there via their own AdWords link and said, hey, this is the number, so we're going to populate it with this, because mm-hmm. they figure that Google AdWords is very trustworthy.
Yeah.
Does this site have schema or H-card or any of that stuff on it?
They do, yeah.
Okay, so we might address some of that and make sure that there are primary and secondary numbers and sort of secretly slip in those numbers, those other numbers, into schema as secondary numbers mm-hmm. and give ourselves a primary location number in that schema for Google to basically come through.
Okay.
And then also the way they set up their call tracking might be a problem. So you might be going directly to the site and seeing the phone number that you want, right? But the way that this call tracking works is that it's based off the referring URL. So where did this come from? This person, when they put in their call tracking for this AdWords, they might have been a little too loose, and this number might be switching for any traffic from Google, not just for the AdWords.
Hmm.
And so you might search the business, follow that link, and see what phone number is showing up.
So just to kind of reel it all in, because that was the headiest conversation I think we've had on the show in a while. no, it's okay. So as you have your website, make sure you're being consistent in the phone numbers you're using and where you're putting them, making sure you identify your primary and secondary numbers, hopefully so that Google and other bots that crawl your site can identify that primary phone that you use as your phone number.
Right. So if you're having a problem with a secondary number being acknowledged as a primary, let's make it clear it's a secondary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right, so, you know, obviously this is a prime example of we're going through websites and we find things on these off sites that are not accurate, you know, and really what we're dealing there with the phone numbers is either a mention or a citation. So another thing to do for cleaning up your backlinks when you're dealing with what you have is, of course, searching for your domain name.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest you just leave off the www. You just type in example.com. Because, you know, that'll be all-encompassing. And once again, you go through the list and you make sure that all that stuff is accurate. And you look for link possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, like we were saying, is searching for your phone number specifically. But now that you bring that up, I would say search for all those secondary phone numbers as well. Because you might find quite a few things that need to be cleaned up. And quite a few backlinking possibilities at the time.
Yeah, as smart as these bots are, they're still pretty stupid.
they're still bots.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. But on our other show, we were talking about this, that you have to be careful. My buddy John, my wife makes fun of John saying that he has an abusive relationship with Alexa, you know, because he's constantly, like, yelling at that thing and, like, telling it to shut up. And, like, he's totally just abusive to
her. Wow.
Yeah.
That poor thing.
Yeah, but Alexa someday, man, it's going to grow some legs. And
Alexa is Skynet.
Yeah. Alexa's going to bring this situation down. But, you know, so your number one best place to get started with building backlinks is to clean up what you have. And track it. You need to start that list. And, you know, before you start adding this new stuff to it, you know, you add it all to a list, and you go through and you check it off. Has it been done? Is it been done? If you're reaching out to people, when did I reach out to them, and have they gotten back to me? You know, I got to warn you, a lot of them are not going to get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just sort of the way of the internet, man. More pages created every day than people on the planet, probably.
Yeah. And, developing that consistency over a lot of different sites is really going to – I think that was – Moz actually made a pie chart. I'll see if maybe we can put it in this in the blog when we put this on the website.
Yeah.
That pie chart shows local ranking factors by percentage, and this link building was way up there. It was in the top three for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of SEO companies that work solely off of link building.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go and you hire them, and you say, oh, well, do you need access to my website in order to clean up this, that, and the other thing? They don't even want it. They just go out there and they build you links, thousands upon thousands of links, and most of them are shady. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. Shady's not the right word. Most of them are not very powerful. You know, they're not ones that are going to hurt you.
But, mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a lot to get a link that's going to hurt you. You know, I don't want to cover any shady topics, but I'm sure all of you can think of all the topics and types of websites that you probably don't want links from.
Do we have time to talk about what a non-helpful link might look like if someone's trying to sell you one?
Yeah. We'll cover it real quick. We're about to go to commercial. So a non-helpful link or a bad backlink definitely would come from a site dealing with, you know, pornography or something like that. or what's called a link wheel, where they're basically, let's say you have thousands of backlinks coming into your site that all say the same thing, or they're all coming from a personal blog network. One guy owns it all coming from one IP address, and he's sort of trying to manipulate backlinks. You know, and that's where those shady things come from. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. When we come back, there's more about backlinking, leveling the playing field with your competitors.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
Canada's Supreme Court ruled 7-2 that a private university must align all of its, quote, codes of conduct with the state's or lose its accreditation. Now, this decision has essentially banned faith from the public sphere, and it will have a ripple effect across all professions and institutions. The sexual revolution has changed many foundational standards of moral and ethical norms, and now it has been legally weaponized in Canada. But here in the USA, religious freedom will be defended. Visit pgi.org and obtain your free guide the Constitution on campus.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. We're talking about backlinks for your small, medium-sized business and making sure that you're out there. Coming up here, we're going to be talking about leveling the playing field with your competitors. But first, we got a quick tip here, Jake.
Yeah, so we're going to start doing these quick tips from time to time. And this week is our first one, so...
So no introduction music?
No. Well... Drum roll. There we go.
Jake.
So, this week's quick tip is build an automated email marketing campaign. Now, what that means is you can get on to MailChimp for free and set up emails to go out when people do certain things on your websites. Now, you also have to have them opt into that that email. But once you've done it, here's some quick statistics on what that means. So, the channel continues to outperform all others, and... Research is showing that you get a return of your investment of around 4,300%, which is huge. I mean,
yeah. So for the math out there for you, you know, 100% is like all of it. 4,300% is 43 all of it.
43 times.
Yeah.
At least. So 80% of people say they've received marketing message alongside their personal emails on a daily basis. So that's for those people who say, well, they never get them. Actually, they do. 70% of people say they use coupons or discounts they get from that email, and 60% of people say receiving special offers is the top reason they subscribe to an email list from a business. So if you especially have an e-commerce store, really consider using an automated emailing campaign to drive customers to buy your products.
So this is not... necessarily like sign up for our newsletter stuff. This is like when I go to a website and they pop up the box that says, do you want to receive updates and stuff like that from this website? And so that's why it's always popping up, because basically if I visit that website again 10 weeks from now, it's going to say, hey, you were here, and let's send them something enticing to get them more interested.
Yeah, and in my email inbox, I've got no less than 10 or 15 emails that say, hey, July 4th sale coming up.
Right.
Now, I may not even want to buy anything right now, but if I did, you can bet I'm going to go to one of those sales I know that I have in my inbox.
Mostly hot dogs and fireworks.
Well, yeah.
Big, huge sale on hot dogs
and
fireworks.
In my case, I bought a mattress recently, so they're all mattress companies, but...
Right. Oh, yeah. Mattresses, man. The world is just like full of like mattress activity.
That's right.
It's crazy.
It's an industry that's changed because of technology, big time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the old sales model, and they're still in town. You go, and it's like a car lot. You test drive your mattress. There's a salesman. He bites your ankle as soon as you go in, and you drag him around the shop floor.
bites your ankle. And drag.
But now you go online. You choose your firmness level, you choose your whatever you want, and they mail it to your door. You have 100 nights to sleep on it. If you don't like it, they'll send someone to pick it up, offer to exchange it, or you just go somewhere else.
Really?
Yes. And it's so easy. I don't have a truck, so I couldn't transport one, but, I mean, I digress. We're way off topic.
I don't know. This is important because my wife and I have had the same mattress for an embarrassing amount of time, and I'm not even willing to admit how long it is.
The mattress industry has changed because of e-commerce.
All right.
It's huge.
So I'm getting into mattresses. Next show, all about mattresses. But for now, we're going to return to backlink building for your website. And in the first segment, we talked about sort of establishing what you have and making sure that what you have is on par and ready to go and all that stuff. And now this next one is going to be about leveling the playing field. You know, a lot of the tactics are the same as the first one, but instead we're going to apply it to our competitors. So, you know, a great way to start here is to figure out what backlinks do your biggest competitors have.
Hmm.
Now, just like you, they're going to have a lot of terrible, terrible links. You know. So a good way to narrow this down is, like, let's say get our three biggest competitors. And we find out what backlinks they have. And then we find out which backlinks they share. Because chances are they're doing battle with one another, and here we are coming to the field, and we're going to do some battle. So, basically, remember, we're dealing with the colander and pouring juice in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to pour the exact same juice in our colander that they're getting in their colander.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you start. And then if you want to narrow it down further, of course, you know, this is a one-by-one basis. This is going through. This is making sure that things happen. So you can narrow it down by saying, okay, here are my three competitors. Here are the backlinks that they share. Now let's figure out the quality of those backlinks that they share, and let's start with the best and work our way down, because that's where we're going to get the most bang for our buck.
And are you familiar with any tools you can use to determine the quality?
I tend to use Moz.
Okay.
You know, but you know, Moz can be a little expensive, so there are some other tools out there that are free and stuff like that. But really, if you're planning on doing some competition, you know, Moz is a great tool to own.
Okay.
you know, your next step might be to figure out what backlinks your allies have, you know. Consider this warfare, you know. I know it sounds terrible, but it is. You know, you are doing warfare, and you have allies. Unfortunately, your allies are also your competitors' allies a lot of the time. Because your allies are your suppliers and your marketers, people who are making money off of the industry and sending you leads and so on and so forth, or sending you equipment. So by finding out the backlinks that they have, we now have a whole new list to basically say, what's the good quality stuff in here and what can we go after here?
Hmm.
And then you're doing the same thing that you're doing when you were researching yourself. So just in case that moved too quickly through there. So we get our competitor, and we're going to search up our competitor's name. And we're going to search up their domain name, and we're going to search up their phone number. And this is where we're going to get the list of sites that reference back to these other sites. And really, that's what you're doing, you know. And that will take up a huge amount of time, frankly. You know, that's why you definitely want to be careful and organize them in the realm of something more. Now, all that being said, there is a lot you can do to move beyond cleaning up your presence and basically mooching off of your competitor's presence. Chances are you're not going to get to the next stuff for months unless you're paying somebody, and that somebody is really, you know, contributing a lot of time. A lot of people go, well, I pay my SEO guy $500 a month. I pay him $500 a month. All this stuff should have been taken care of, right? Well, let's break that down. Let's say your SEO company makes $50 an hour, and that's shooting it probably a little low. That means that they are basically doing 2.5 hours worth of work for you a week, and so, no, it's not necessarily all done, you know. So you got to realize that just like any other war, it is not only a battle on the battlefield, it's a battle of resources. And that's why when you're a lawyer, you are spending thousands of dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are a hot dog shop, you are not.
Yeah.
All right, so... Well, we're coming up on the break here, but let's start into going beyond with our next steps, because some of these you can really start now, although you won't see the fruits of your labors until later. And a great one to start right off the bat is building relationships. Involving yourself with industry, social media. Now, I am not talking about involving yourself with social media and your fans and stuff like that. I'm talking about industry leaders, other people in your industry, marketing, like people who are supplying you with things, you know, basically influencers who are able to get that stuff out there. So we're coming up on commercial break. We're going to cover that a little bit more when we come back. You're listening to The Being Found Show.
You know my next door neighbor about to make me lose my mind. You know my next door neighbor about to make me lose my mind.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
A jury deliberation room filled with 12 men, ordinary people just like you or me who must decide the outcome of a murder trial. Experience for yourself as dramas run high, tempers flare, and personal prejudices are tested, all while the life of one 19-year-old man hangs in the balance.
Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present 12 Angry Men, written by Reginald Rose, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, June 16th through July 7th.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my own man looks good.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. We are talking about building backlinks for your website. We've already covered how to make sure that the backlinks that you have are quality and well done and put together correctly and linking to the right places. And then our second dig into that one was exploiting your competitors' backlinks and making sure that you got the same stuff. Because remember, we talked at the beginning that SEO is a lot like a colander. When you're working on-site, you're plugging holes, and when you're doing things like backlinks, you're pouring in water. Your goal is to have more water than your competitors. So before we went to break, we were talking about building relationships, and that's something you can do in the beginning, but it's really sort of a more advanced tactic that's going to help you later. But, you know, getting started now with quality relationships, sharing other people's stuff, and getting out there. So, you know, it might be a little confusing. You know, a lot of companies, like, let's say I'm a plumber, and I want to get out there and I want to be the best I can be in the online plumbing community, which, for those of you that snirked a little there, yes, there's an online plumbing community.
That's right. You know. And plumbers make a great deal of money, too.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do. They definitely can.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll make more with more backlinks, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So your goal is not necessarily to show off to your competitors how great you are. So bear this in mind when you're on there. You know, starting relationships with companies that use plumbers. So basically, let's say I have a construction company that I have a relationship with, and I always share and like their stuff. You know, they're going to come through and do the same for me. So I don't want to go through and find a bunch of plumbing companies to be friends with. I want to find a bunch of potential partnerships to be friends with. And this moves right into the next one, which is like mentioning other businesses in posts and shares. Any business that's out there sort of doing this higher level of battle is going to be tracking their own name and their own mentions. And so when you're out there mentioning other people who you're finding being impressed, once again, not your competitors, but sort of industry partnerships. I guess, you know, a lot of you out there are probably familiar with lead groups. So this is not unlike an impromptu lead group. You know, you're not surrounding yourselves with other plumbers.
Mm-hmm.
You are surrounding yourselves with other people that use plumbers and other people that can help you and you can help them. You know, so you're creating this sort of impromptu lead group. So mentioning these other businesses and stuff like that can really start that to happen. Or mentioning, even like in our industry, mentioning a tool, you know, mentioning a website, you know, something like that. Hey, we got this great information from Moz.com. And then a company like Moz is much more apt to come along and get it and share it on their social media because they picked that up.
Yep.
another one is to recover your dead backlinks. This is maybe a little technical, so we'll run over it really quick. But in Google My Business, not Google, but My Business, sorry. It's early. I'm only halfway through my cup of coffee. In Google Webmaster Tools, you can extract a list of backlinks to your website. And in doing so, you can figure out what pages they link to, and if the pages they link to are even there anymore. So if you have a bunch of backlinks that are going to what's called a 404 on your site, which is no response code, you can clean that up and redirect that page to a relevant page. You know, and that's really a big deal, especially when you start hitting a larger site, because 404s can really go unchecked if you start to lose track of them. So this one's kind of a funny one. Another fun one for exploiting your competition. So when you're building a website, there's trust factor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that trust factor is, where do I link to? You know, so let's say I'm doing a page about Redding, California. I'm going to link to Redding.gov. I'm going to link to Redding's Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of places that people link to. And this is all important for your SEO, to have outbound links of quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because people always think that, you know, just to remind you, your number one goal is to get people to your website to convert, to give you money. Your number two goal is to help people online move across the internet with ease and quality. If you're confused about what that means, go to Being Found. You can check it on one of our last shows. It should be labeled on there. I don't have it in front of me. But basically, you do have a secondary goal for those that don't convert because it's good for SEO. So all of your competitors, chances are they're linking to specific websites because they're playing the game as well. So let's say I have three competing plumbers that are all linking to John's Pipe Supply. If I go to John's Pipe Supply and I get a backlink from that page on John's Pipe Supply, not only am I getting a backlink from John's Pipe Supply, but my own competitors are inadvertently backing up the link and making my link stronger that's going to my site.
I love it.
Right.
This really is combat right now.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure if that was, like, too confusing, but that's exploiting your competitors' backlinks. Basically, wherever your competitors are linking to most, if we can get links from there, we are getting super strong industry links because we're getting all of our competitors basically linking to us through a chain, at least. Turn your mentions into backlinks. This one's time-consuming, something that you can start right off the bat. We kind of talked about this a little bit in the second segment, but this might help. Is basically, when you're going through and you find mentions of your site, remember, mention is your site being referred to, mentioned, but not necessarily linked. When you find that, you can write to the website and ask them to link to you. Especially if you have a page that's somewhat relevant to what they're talking about on their page. Because remember, their secondary goal is to help people along their merry way on the internet. And so if on your site, where they're mentioning you, you have something of relevance to continue, you write to that that website and you say, hey, why don't you turn this mention into a backlink and send them to this page.
And don't get discouraged if you don't get anything back. I've been doing this actually all week. building links for a client, and I think my average right now, although it's a short time to tell, is about 2 out of 10 might get back to me.
I think that's a pretty good number.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's statistically a pretty good number.
Good.
Yeah. And that might seem bad, but let's say our competitor isn't doing this, and so now you're getting 2 backlinks a week, and your competitor is getting none.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. You know. You got 2 that the other guy doesn't have. So.
Right. So
well
in
done.
In a year, you basically got 104 backlinks. Yeah. And then this sort of last one here is find submission opportunities. Earlier, we were talking about search operators, you know, which is allowing you to search for specific things, like in quotes. That's something that people always use. If you were to search for your industry and maybe the term write for us or submit an article or something like that, you'd be able to find industry-specific things for, I guess we're working off of plumbing here, where you're able to submit content to them, and by submitting them content, get a link back to your website.
Yeah, a great way to do this if I've got time here.
You do.
Yeah, have a local event. Make sure, I mean, this is going to cost money, so you have to realize that right up front. Have a local event. It can be something as simple as a hot dog feed and showing what your business does. Then go out to all the community calendars in your area and say, hey, we're having this hot dog feed, free hot dogs, free sodas. That's a minimal cost, and you're getting these community calendars and maybe some local news organizations to link back to you.
Yeah.
Great way to develop links, and all for the cost of a couple hundred hot dogs.
Right. Which is basically like $3?
Yeah.
Especially if you go through Jake's email. And
yeah.
Costco. Get the 4th of July Costco.
That's right.
Discount coupon. All right. But, jokes aside, you're absolutely right. And really, if you want to get real tricky, you don't even actually really have to have an event. You could have some sort of, like, giveaway on your website where we give this away. We got 5 T-shirts, and we're giving them away on our website on August 8th. You know, come to our website, sign up. You can drop off a ticket in the front door. And we're going to give away 8 of these on social media after the fact. We're going to put it in all of the calendars that this is going on, and then we're going to share it on social media, and then we're going to put it out there, and then we're going to give them to people, and then we're going to share those on social media as well, people wearing our stupid shirt.
All that, and you're just getting rid of inventory you can't move.
Right, exactly. You know, so there's a lot of great opportunity out there for backlinks. You know, you just got to get creative, and really, it's just like anything else. Picasso, what did Picasso say?
I like paint.
Good artists borrow, great artists steal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, so, you know, just take what these other people are doing, tweak it for you, and get it out there. You're listening to The Being Found Show. Check us out next week. Check us out at beingfound.com. And get online.
That's right.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. Just a few minutes ago in his weekly address today, President Trump thanked retiring Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy for his service to the country.
Last week, Justice Anthony Kennedy announced his decision to take senior status. I was greatly honored when Justice Kennedy came to the White House to meet with me. America is truly grateful for Justice Kennedy's lifetime of distinguished service.
The president will announce his pick Monday night to fill the seat vacated by the retiring justice. And the flip-flop of North Korea continues. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo just wrapping up 2 days of meetings with North Korean leaders. He says progress was made. However, North Korea just issued a statement saying high-level talks with the U.S. delegation were regrettable. The U.S. government is dropping charges against the last 39 people accused of taking part in a violent protest during President Trump's inauguration.
Friday's motion to dismiss charges seemingly ends an 18-month saga. It all started with the Justice Department attempting to convict more than 190 people. Authorities arrested more than 200 people after the protest, during which demonstrators broke several store windows and set a parked limo on fire. Two group trials both ended in defeat for the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Andrew Stewart reporting from Washington. The first trial ended with acquittals for all six defendants. The second trial for four people in May ended in acquittals on most charges and a hung jury on the rest. The death toll and the sinking of a boat in a storm off the Thai tourist island of Phuket has climbed to at least 40, with several Chinese tourists still missing. The boat capsized after being hit by 16-foot waves. China's president urging Thai authorities to spare no effort nor expense in the search operation. More on these stories can be found at townhall.com.
How much do you spend on your pest control each year? $200, $300, or even $500 or more? What if I said you could spend less than $25 a year, even less with promo code RADIO20? Then listen up. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-in Pest Free. And yes, it is possible to rid your home or business of unwanted pests for less than $25 per year. The answer is Plug-in Pest Free. Our best seller, the Plug-in Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. For just a one-time cost of only $249, even less with promo code RADIO20, you'll be pest-free for years to come. Log on to gopestfree.com today. Use promo code RADIO20 and start driving those pests away. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com. That's gopestfree.com. Promo code RADIO20.
Washington state voters will likely decide in November whether to charge industrial emitters a fee for their carbon pollution.
A broad, diverse coalition of tribes, community, labor, and environmental groups say they've gathered enough signatures to put a carbon fee measure on the ballot. It comes 2 years after voters in the state rejected a carbon tax that would have been the first in the nation. Sponsors of Initiative 1631 say it'll hold corporate polluters accountable. Critics warn that implementing a fee will raise gasoline and energy prices on consumers, calling it a massive tax increase on families.
Jeremy House reporting that money raised would be spent on projects for renewable energy, forests, and other natural resources. Beijing calling it the biggest trade war in economic history as the U.S. and China hike tariffs on billions of dollars of each other's goods, but didn't seem to affect Wall Street, ending on a positive note this week. The Dow up 100, NASDAQ up 102, S&P closing up 23 on Friday. This is Town Hall News. Teen athletes are at high risk for knee injury. Washington area physician Dr. Charles Snyderman tells us about a study which identifies a key risk factor.
Injuries to the anterior cruciate ligament, or ACL, inside the knee joint are one of the most common and serious injuries affecting teen athletes, according to the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine. Fatigue increases the risk by nearly 45%, so fatigue awareness and stamina training should be a goal for coaches, trainers, as well as physical education teachers. This is Dr. Charles Snyderman reporting from Washington.
Another country moving its embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. The Slovakian government is in the process of relocating its delegates from Tel Aviv to the Israeli capital. Ever since President Trump ordered the U.S. embassy move back in May, other countries have been following suit, including Guatemala, Paraguay. For many years, the embassies of the world were established in Tel Aviv in an effort not to anger the Palestinians. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
My darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your show about paranormal and all that other exciting, crazy stuff. I'm your host, Chauncey, and this is my co-host, Sean. How
Hello.
Are you doing, Sean?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's been a hot week. Yeah, you love it?
No.
No, I hate it.
That's the totality of my response to that. It's just, ugh.
It is apocalyptic out there, you know.
Oh, I know.
And my poor little plants, man, they're just getting cooked.
Oh, your survivalist garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. How will you prepare for every apocalypse?
Are you going to mock?
Except the one that's most likely, where temperatures rise out of control and all your plants die.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, global warming's a myth.
Oh, okay. Good.
Or
good, we're going there.
Maybe that was dry land. I'm not sure. Dry land might be a myth.
Mark Levin was on earlier. This is not Mark Levin.
Oh, well, yeah.
So, it's okay for it to not be a myth.
I'm going
to
throw this out there. Global warming is happening.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
It's hot.
Yeah,
you know?
It's very hot.
I don't know. It's, you know, it just ain't right. It ain't right.
I was reading that book the other day from, by the other day, I mean like a couple of months ago, so now I can't remember the author, but it's the one where it goes through degree by degree, you know, what global warming would look like.
Oh, right.
From 1 degree Celsius to 6 degrees Celsius.
Right.
And, you know, the plants don't grow or anything at, like, 6 degrees Celsius. The last time the world was that hot, it was just, everything was desert, basically.
Right.
Except
yeah.
for a few isolated patches of area. And it was like,
yeah, well,
it's worse than people think.
So, my wife is a hobbit, you know.
You're going to have to explain that.
She's like a person-sized hobbit. So basically, in The Hobbit, or in Lord of the Rings, they're describing like what a hobbit is like. And
she lives in a hole in the ground?
No,
what?
They like good drink and good food, and they're happiest with their hands in the dirt because they're gardening. And that's pretty much my wife. She likes to, you know, eat good food, she
that's
likes
fair.
To drink
yeah.
good drink, and she likes to garden. And so we're buying all of these plants that are, like, drought-resistant and, like, cactuses. And some of the cactuses are getting cooked. And I guess my other funny thing is my daughter.
Cactuses.
This will be my reminder to my wife, if you're listening. Remember, Terry, if Harley pots her cactus, you're supposed to videotape it because I want to see Harley pot her cactus. Because she's a competent 17-year-old, but she's still a 17-year-old that's never potted a cactus, so this should be interesting.
That is true. It is notorious for being covered in spikes.
Oh, yeah. She spiked herself several times on the way out of the store with the thing. You know, so.
Oh, God.
So.
Oh, my. Yes, I would also like to see footage of this.
Oh, yeah.
We'll put it up on the Radio Wasteland page.
Right. Terry, plug Harley's ears. Yes, it's going up on Radio Wasteland. Absolutely.
That's
so anything else new and exciting happened to you this week?
Oh, no, not really, you know. I mean, on the hot subject, everything was on fire a little while ago.
Like,
roundabouts where I live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't evacuated or anything, but it's kind of a wonder that house is still standing. Whole neighborhood, really, because of how many close calls there have been.
Yeah, it is.
It's just like, this month everything catches on fire. That's just the way it is in summer. I don't know. It's crazy.
I guess for those of you that are listening from around the world, I'm sure you've already watched the news, at least here in the United States. And last year, California had the worst fire season on record ever.
And I'm sure we'll top it this year.
And we've already topped it for the time frame that we're in, you know. So we're expecting an even worse.
I did not know that.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah, we're all going H-E double hockey sticks.
Right.
So
that's fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Yeah, for me, this week, I'd have to say nothing too exciting. I'm trying to keep my eye on the ball. Trying to, get my stuff done.
Are you meditating?
No. No, I'm not. I try, but I can never remember to.
Right. Know? Meditation is supposed to help with that.
Yeah, I know.
You need to become really good at meditation so that you can remember to meditate.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm kind of a scatterbrain, and like I take medication for being a scatterbrain, but I always forget to take my medication.
Your meditation medication.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, how are you supposed to do this? You know?
I don't know. I think, you know, it's a concept that arose in a time when people did not have the internet in their pockets all the time. So there were probably fewer distractions.
Yeah, but I didn't grow up in that world. You're a digital native, but I'm not.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We're all addicted.
I guess so.
Presumably.
I mean, I work.
I don't know. I feel like it does things to your attention span. But.
I work at the stupid computer. When I'm done working, I really don't like to hang out at the thing.
That's fair.
You know, it's like, I could probably do better marketing for this show and my other show and stuff like that, but really I can't handle more than one or two nights a week paying attention to social media because, like, it's
too much like your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
You know, it's like I grew up drawing. Like, I always wanted to draw comic books and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm a competent drawer.
Artist?
I don't know. Seems a little presumptuous to throw that
out
there.
Call you a drawer.
Yeah. But, you know, I can draw a person pretty well, cartoon style. And I can draw a background pretty well, cartoon style. I just have a hard time putting the two together. But I guess my point is that, like, I've been offered jobs throughout the years where I would be an artist.
Uh-huh.
And I could never do it because I'm just all like...
It would ruin your enjoyment.
Yeah, here I got this hobby, and now you want to tell me what to do so I won't have this hobby any longer.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Yeah.
I can see the dilemma there.
Well, this world, you know, I guess we're digressing from nothing, but my
this whole segment is a digression, just yeah, a one long digression. It's all good.
Yeah, it's degrading. Like, the world will have you think that, you know, just do what you love and you'll get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll all succeed. But unfortunately, we all want to be rap stars, and there can only be so many rap stars in the world.
Right.
You know, so that's not necessarily the case. So I tell my kids, the best thing in the world, of course, is do what you love and get paid for it. But running a very close second is do what you're good at so that you can afford to do what you love when you're off work. So that's my advice to everyone.
Yeah, I think that's what most people settle for, to be honest.
Well, I don't even think they settle
not
that far.
Particularly attainable.
Yeah, totally.
No, you're probably right.
I'm the world's most kick-ass burger flipper. You know. All right, so tonight on the show, speaking of burgers.
This has nothing to do with burgers.
Well,
but
rare ones it does. We have we're dealing with vampires, real-life vampires here on the show tonight. And, you know,
my friends from the vampire community.
Yeah, this is an interesting
topic
for me.
Happily agreed to come on and set the record straight.
Set the record straight.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do they... See, these are some of my questions. Do they feel that the world, due to Hollywood, like earlier on the Radio Wasteland Facebook page, we had a post up about, like, the most powerful vampires, and I'm just all like, man, there are some stupid vampires on this thing, because...
Yeah,
media has thrown us some really
lame
ones.
It's safe to say going into this interview that, like, fiction has pretty much nothing to do with real life except for the blood drinking bit.
Well, I'm sure there's some crossover, and we're going to get to the bottom of that.
All right. Well, now we'll know.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come on back, we got Kat and
Aldrich.
And we're going to find out about vampires.
Tonight! I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. My tuber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
The world is a vampire.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. And we are dealing with vampirism. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Vampirism.
Vampirism?
Vampirism.
Vampirism.
I guess. I don't know. I'm no expert.
You're not?
No.
Aren't you a part of this community?
Yes. Okay, I am an expert. Fine. I am an expert, but I feel like, I don't know, our listeners get enough of my perspective on it. Perspective on everything that happens, so right. Let's get a fresh take here.
I think we have Kat with us now.
You also have me.
Kat, yeah. Do we have you there with us?
Yes, you do.
All
Yay.
Right. Well, I think we're waiting for Aldrich to come in, but why don't we start with you? You know, normally at the start of the show, when I have a guest on, I ask them how they get started in this sort of thing, but this
it
is
doesn't
one
necessarily
of those things,
apply.
Right? So I guess I'm going to just straight up ask the question that a lot of people are probably wanting to know. And is this, first off, is this mental or is it physiological?
I'm going to go with physiological. There are some mental.
Okay. So this helps me ask my initial question, and that is like, how does this start for someone when they're coming of age? You know, it's like, is this something that is needed when they're a child? Obviously, parents are, you know, saying, you know, stop sucking the blood out of your friend. You know, So how does this start? Yeah. So how does this start? How does this come about? How does one realize that they need this?
Well, for me, it's not so much as realizes that I was actually born with congenital esotropia of both eyes. I was born legally blind. And so I didn't really humanize people at that point. And so during my youth, I would harm my siblings, adults, and my colleagues, or those they would have been peers at that time.
I see. So I assume that this was an issue with your parents.
Yes. And my school did put me into a social adjustment class, which nowadays with sensitivity and diction choice, it would have been considered an empathy class.
I see. Because you felt, or the situation was that you weren't connecting or like you said, humanizing other people. And so what's, I guess I'm a little skipping ahead here. What's your relationship now like with your parents and these siblings? Do they have more of an understanding of that situation, or did that cause permanent rifts?
I'd say it did cause permanent rifts. My sister, that does have two daughters, refuses to let me be a godparent.
Hmm. Well, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't mean to ask difficult questions. I'm just trying to, you know, understand what it's like to really sort of come to terms with this and put it out there. So when did you decide that this was not a mental problem, that this was actually something and something that you needed to take care of consistently?
Considering how English is not my first language, so I apologize. I'd say the fact that you get massive amounts of headaches, you get exceedingly lethargic, and there always seems to be one thing that always solves that problem and allows you to be able to process, to be able to think, to be able to have that social interaction without that constant clawing at the back of your mind.
Yeah, but in this world that we live in, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, in this world that we live in, like I've never drank a cup of blood, so like if I was feeling terrible and blood would fix that, I would never know that because I was never given that. So how did you get to the point where you said, yes, blood is, yeah, that you got to the point where you were just, blood is what I need, blood fixes my problem?
Well, for me, I don't know if it's the same for everyone, but for me, it's always been a constant. Like, whenever I was little and I was blind, my sisters were just a sound, my parents were just a sound, and I would harm them without thinking about what actions I was doing. They just provided a release for me.
I see. And so since then, do you feel that you have been able to connect with people and humanize people and have friendships and stuff like that?
Yes, I've actually become a whole-rounded person, so I'm not a monster, if that's of any consolation.
Well, you know, I obviously don't think so, but that is so I guess my next question is to Aldrich. Are you there with us, Aldrich?
I believe I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear
you. Oh, that's
awesome. Yeah, perfect.
There we go.
So the questions that I was asking Kat was basically like...
Yes. Because you have a pretty different story on this, yes.
Yeah, how does one figure out that they need this? You know, how did you start as a child and through to adulthood figuring out that you needed this?
All right, well, mine is quite different from Kat's. I started around puberty. You know, you're growing up, you hit puberty, you start growing hair in funny places, your voice starts dropping in different ways. But most people don't tell you, and I never learned it in health class, why do I want to hurt people? I didn't really understand it first, heightened aggression and whatnot. And trying to be a good person, a moral person, it always turned inwards. So with that, I would resort to self-harm. But I found that with self-harm, cutting in particular, I actually found some relief whenever I drank my own blood. Now, it wasn't a lot.
Right, of course.
And it was never amazing. It's like, oh my God, my head just stops.
Right.
But, you know, at one point I did bite other people, and it's in the community, that's always frowned upon, but a lot of us have done it. Right. And I found relief that way. But I found that as I got older, I was able to control it more. But then symptoms started kind of cropping up. Headaches, lethargy, general just sluggishness for the most part. But, you know, that's the way it is.
I see, I see. So once you realized that you were this way, you know, was it difficult to put the label of vampire on it?
Well, at the time, I had no idea. I mean, vampire, that I was a kid, that vampire was, oh my gosh, that's a thing in a movie. That's a thing in a book. That's not what I am. I'm not undead. I didn't die. I still got a heartbeat. But, you know, when I was about 17, 18 years old, got online, started researching the symptoms. And, you know, I came across a lot of stuff, but the whole vampire community at the time was just kind of starting to get off the ground. Mind you, this was still 2004, 2005, so...
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
but there was an online presence back then.
Renfield syndrome. Say that again, Sean?
But there was an online presence back then.
Yes,
that was just sort of getting going.
I think a lot of it started in the early 90s. Even, you know, back when the internet first started, there was a community that was starting to form.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe the label of vampire kind of comes from the community more than, you know. Than that being a perfectly descriptive label of the situation.
Yeah, that's what I was really wondering. Is vampire, you know, is that really a retronym or a term that was sort of like just kind of adopted because, hey, we're close? Or is that something that people in the community really feel that they are and that movies and pop culture have gotten wrong and that the community has right? Or is it something that movies and pop culture had come up with and that the community adopted?
That's a loaded question.
It's
kind of a loaded question. I'll give my take. Kat has a different one on this one.
Okay.
But, you know, back in the day, vampire was the word that fit. Now it's sanguinarian or psychic vampire. But a lot of us do not like the name vampire because it's not what we are.
Because it carries Bram Stoker and thing after that, connotations that
Harry
don't
Charlie,
really apply.
Bram Stoker, Elizabeth Bathory.
Right.
Yeah. Kat, she'll talk your ear off about it.
Well, let's hear it, Kat. What do you think about the term? Do you feel that it's an accurate term to use?
I don't think it's an accurate term to use, personally. But it's like an umbrella term, though, that some people use as a window to get in and to be able to find others and maybe communicate with them. I understand that myths are created through the word of mouth, and we all know how the telephone game works and how maybe there was people that in our same situation back in the eons ago or whatever decade you want to put it in, or century.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no doctor to actually solve or answer for this. And so if you get religious people constantly making different stories, you get monsters and creepy things.
Right. I mean, throughout history, we have all sorts of people being, you know, demonized for things that today we don't really think are much big deal. Hey, we're coming up here on our first commercial break. You're listening to Kat and Aldrich here on Radio Wasteland. We're learning about vampires. And maybe vampire isn't the right word. And come on back.
Oh, sweet thing, Zion doesn't love you. Babylon don't love you. But you love so I could never love you. It's part of everything.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you could use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
How do you imagine your dream home? Open spaces as far as the eye can see? Waking up to a view of the beautiful surrounding mountains and a quiet neighborhood that's not too far from town? Northwest Homes is here to help your dream become a reality. We have new homes available today, ready to move into on the rolling hills in West Anderson. These Skyview estates are minutes from everything but feel miles away. Or if you're looking for something unique, custom, and quality built to customer desire and request, Northwest Homes is available to suit your personal taste on your lot or one of theirs. Check out your dream home at northwest-homes.com if you're looking for undisputable quality in a home you can be proud of. Northwest Homes is your first choice.
Give Northwest Homes a call, 247-0441.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Imagine living in a planned community that features a regional park for you and your family to enjoy, plus walking trails, fabulous open spaces, and so much more. You can find all of this, plus the designer home you've always dreamed of at Shastina Ranch. Built by Palomar Builders, your ultimate home. Shastina Ranch is located just off Airport Road on Shastaview. Homes in Shastina Ranch feature green technology, water-conserving toilets, faucets, and showerheads, energy-efficient LED lighting, and programmable irrigation systems. Distinctive exterior features including 30-year composite roofing in a variety of colors, designer entry doors, and of course with Palomar Builders, exceptional interiors. Plans including 9-foot and 10-foot ceilings throughout. Beautiful designer kitchens with granite slab countertops and full tile backsplash. To see Shastina Ranch, just take Airport Road to Shastaview. For more information, contact Rhonda Culp of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 949-8613. Palomar Builders, your ultimate home.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guests, Kath and Aldrich, and we're talking about vampirism. But so what is the term that you do prefer? What in the case, now I understand that there are different types of vampires in the sense that they're psychic and stuff like that, but in the case of drinking blood, what is the term that you guys really feel does apply?
Kath?
Sanguinarian or sanguivore.
Sanguine meaning blood and vorarian meaning eating it.
Vor eating arian as person.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so this leads to probably the other common question that you guys always get, I'm sure. And that is, you know, where do you find this blood? You know, where are you getting this from? I think
pick it up from your local blood shop.
Well, I think Andrea posted something funny on Andrea posted something funny on Facebook this week about trying to donate blood, but then had to walk away because people kept asking her where she got it. You know. So, you know, where do you get it?
Well,
from people.
Well, yeah, I figured it's from people, but you know, so
hamburgers are from cows.
So I guess my question is, do you get it from other vampires, or do you get it from people who are not vampires?
Typically, you get it from non-vampiric persons.
And is there,
we call them donors.
And is there a difference in the blood?
You know, are you talking about, like, between two individuals or between, like, vampire and non-vampire?
Between vampire and non-vampire.
Haven't tasted any other vampires.
Oh, I see.
Can't tell you.
Huh. Interesting.
But between two people, there definitely is a difference in taste,
Yeah. There is.
Depending on diet and so forth.
So what is the draw to people who are not vampires to surrender their blood to be drank by vampires?
Kat, you have more experience with this.
Oh, my gosh. I was gonna say, most of the time, if I was to ask them that question, it's usually on a benevolent factor. They sympathize or they empathize, and they want to feel as if they're contributing in some way. And usually, for me, I will peruse my friends and drop those hints and wait for them to ask the right question. And once they ask the right question, that usually means that they already have deduced the answer. And so that means that they're more than likely comfortable with the answer. And at that point, they're trying to be a good friend. But I also try to keep it in that friend boundaries, because if you let feeding go into a different direction, it can lead to problems.
Because I would imagine that there's a fair amount of fetishism out there on the donor level. And so is that something that you look for, or is that something that you try to avoid?
It's more something you have to contend with, I think.
For me, it's something I try to avoid, because I'd rather keep it on a more clinical and professional level, not professional is probably not the right word, but
no, I get
not in a lover or a bedroom type scene. That's no.
Right, I see what you're saying. What about you, Aldrich? You know, how does that tend to work for you?
I have to look long and hard.
You haven't fed in quite some time, yes.
It's been a while for me.
Well,
sometimes
I think
it's almost a question of morals versus what I can get. But in this case, it's mostly I can't find any open-minded people.
Well, you do live in Indiana.
Huh? Yeah, I do.
You know, this is probably a little bit of a taboo thing to say, but it seems to me with the fetishism involved and the possible sexual overtones, now I understand that in your case, Kat, that you try to avoid a lot of this, but I don't know how to say this, but it, I imagine, would be more difficult for a man than a woman.
I don't know, maybe.
I assume so.
Yeah.
You know, have you found that that's the case?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because, you know, that's just kind of the world that we live in at this point. You know, it's getting better, but slowly.
And sometimes you just have to roll with it.
Right. So, you know, in talking to Sean about this, he says that it's a big online community and that you find it online, you know, is like, can people mail you blood? Well, I don't know. That's not ridiculous.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. Okay. I mean, I order plants through the mail. I order food through the mail, so I didn't know if that was a possibility.
The thing is that you don't usually share donors. You don't want to do that because you don't know if the other person's donors have been tested and if they're safe or where the blood has come from. There's too many variables that are just not nice. No.
Right. Yeah, that was definitely going to be one of my questions. Like, is there a fear of disease or cleanliness involved in this?
Yeah, well, you have to be very careful about that.
definitely on the cleanliness factor because, you know, people do mail blood for clinical purposes, but there's a lot of regulation that goes involved with that to keep it at certain temperatures and, you know, stored properly in the proper containers. And if somebody's just trying to mail you blood, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, even if they're using, like, blood tubes that have anticoagulants in them. You know, there's chances that it wasn't stored at the proper temperature, and there's a whole list of variables that could go wrong.
Right, right. That makes sense. So, you know, a prime question that I really want to know here, and we discussed a little bit in the last segment, was, you know, where did the myth end and where did reality start on this one? And so that's really what I'd like to know. It's like, other than a need slash desire for blood, is there anything else that makes somebody who's vampiric different than a regular person?
In my experience, no.
So you would say you are just like anybody else in this world, only you need that. So it's similar to, I'm not making a direct comparison, just a hypothetical one to iron deficiency or something like that. This is just something that you need in order to be a healthy person.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you agree with healthy that, Kat?
Healthy functioning person, yes.
Right.
Okay. Functioning person, yeah. That's always a good one.
Well, I mean, how many of us are really that? Yeah, maybe I need blood. I don't know, because I'm not sure about my health or my functioning. You know, because we have had guests on this show before. We've done one other show about vampires, and they had very different answers than the ones that you guys are saying. Now, they weren't saying that they were flying around at night and that they can't be touched by the sun or anything like that. But they did feel that they had stronger immune systems from drinking blood, like getting sick, wasn't it, that he hadn't gotten
yes,
sick?
Yes, well, one of the vampires said that they had not gotten sick since they started drinking blood and claimed to be somewhat stronger than normal, which I understand is kind of a... There's, like, sort of a debate to some degree about that in the vampire community, but it's...
Stronger than normal.
Yeah, kind of a fringy thing.
Well, that's one thing that Cyrus and I were talking with another youth in one of the community, is that sometimes some people will try to make placebos or try to associate something to something else that it's not. Mm-hmm. So they'd be like, I'm a ginger. It'd be like me saying, me going outside is going to burn me. Well, no, I'm a ginger, so yes, the sun is going to hurt.
Because
but I'm not going to blame that on vampirism.
Right. I mean, obviously, you know, if vampirism is the case, there, I'm sure, are black vampires.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
Right. So ginger would not be a factor, nor would... Are there any parts of the vampire myth that hold true to it, or is it really just sort of the imaginations of people over the years that are really sort of coming up with this stuff, and really none of it holds true?
I would say not really. I'd say, well, it's different allergies are different for different people. Like, some people are allergic to apples. Somebody maybe was allergic to garlic back in the day, but that could be just an unknown variable, and you never know.
Actually, one of the very few other sanguivores I've ever met was allergic to garlic.
Wow, that's funny.
But you're not.
No. Oh. I love garlic. I eat pizza every day.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
That would be the real tragedy of vampirism.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. What you eat.
Right, right. So I guess the question would come up, if you didn't eat, let's say you spent your entire life as somebody who needed blood but never got it, would it kill you?
No.
No.
Though you're probably going to be one of those people that is currently in the hospital every other week for this or that. And the doctor's going to be like, you're a hypochondriac. There's nothing wrong with you, but there is.
I see. All right,
and
well,
I get to the point where I'm exceedingly weak and to the point that I struggle sometimes to breathe, but I've gone to many doctors. I have clear lungs. I have everything's fine. My chest has been x-rayed. Nothing's wrong with me, but I just, it's like I can't.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our next commercial break. We got a lot more questions for you when we come back about the vampire community and the different types of vampires that are out there. You're listening to Aldrich and Kat here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
I'm a vampire, baby.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
Canada's Supreme Court ruled 7-2 that a private university must align all of its, quote, codes of conduct with the state's or lose its accreditation. Now, this decision has essentially banned faith from the public sphere, and it will have a ripple effect across all professions and institutions. The sexual revolution has changed many foundational standards of moral and ethical norms, and now it has been legally weaponized in Canada. But here in the USA, religious freedom will be defended. Visit pgi.org and obtain your free guide, The Constitution on Campus.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
The sum above difference is substantial. After all, the Giant got its name for a reason. It ain't little. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. The sum above difference is legendary. With Jersey Mike's, throwing an unforgettable party is easy. You supply the perfect guests, we'll supply the perfect subs. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Jersey Mike's, next to Trader Joe's off of Hilltop.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking with Kat and Aldrich about vampirism. In the prior segments, we talked about sort of the awakening and realizing what you were and how you did it. And, you know, after that, finding donors and how that goes about. Now I'd like to know a little bit about the vampire community. You guys were talking about how it started in the 90s.
Or at least the online bit did, yeah.
Yeah. Good, because my question was going to be, what was the community like, and you guys probably aren't old enough to know, but maybe you've heard stories. What was a community like prior to the internet? Was it, did it take the collective group of people to understand what it was that was happening to them, or is this something that people have known prior to that?
It's definitely something people have known prior to it, but there was... It was probably diagnosed more as some type of schizophrenia or something, or people just kept quiet about it. And I know some of the ones I've spoken to, they embraced it as much as possible, and people just thought they were weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, that tends to be the case with most of us who have any sort of weird interest, which I personally have my own collection of. So there's this movie. One of my weird interests is I am a hardcore horror movie fan. And there's this horror movie called Martin by George Romero. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but I'm going to run it down for our audience. And that is that this guy is convinced that he's a vampire. And he goes around and he holds people down, you know, kidnaps them, knocks them out, and uses his syringe and takes their blood and then drinks their blood. But the stinger is, not only does he feel that he's a vampire, there is another guy that believes he's a vampire, that is a vampire slayer, that is hunting this guy, trying to basically stake him through the heart. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but, I mean, there are a lot of crazy people in this world. I was driving down the road the other day. I saw some guy with a huge sign on the side of the road talking about how Jews did 9/11 and stuff like that. Do you guys have any fear that there's some crazy out there that's really going to potentially try to hurt you?
Oh, my.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but I mean, there are a lot of crazies
out
there.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. There used to be. Back when Buffy was very popular, we would run into supposed hunters.
That's murder.
Yeah. So do you feel that they were role-playing, or do you think they were serious?
I think they were...
Maybe both.
Harsh, maybe, yeah, a little bit of both.
Yeah. Huh, crazy. Well, I know...
I did not know that.
Yeah, I know it sounds like a crazy question, but I mean, you know, look at some of the people out there and what they believe and what they try to do to one another. And I saw this as being a possibility, you know, especially with extreme religious views and stuff like that, yeah. You know, that maybe there was that. Okay, so in the vampire community, there are multiple types of vampires. Can one of you run those down for us?
Oh, my.
Oh,
okay.
My.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm just going to throw this out there that I'm known as the sledgehammer. I will bring Thor's hammer down, so to speak. We have the Thanes, or the Otherkin, which are people who believe they are the reincarnation of vampires, which they might as well be, as we like to call, vapes. People who run around in capes and whatnot and believe that they are this or that. But those people also... can also identify as Scooby-Doo, so...
Huh. Okay, so I take it you're viewing that one as maybe a little bit more of a mental illness.
Yes.
Okay.
But then you have the Lifestylers, who will like to play around with the variables, but that's all they are, is they come in and out of that style of life. Then you have your psychic vampires, who believe that they can send out tendrils of energy and siphon... I'm not a psychic vampire, so I can't really... give you the full scope of this, but that's what I've read about. And I'm like, personally, I'm a sanguinivore, so the med-sangs, we like to try to take a more medical approach to the vampirism. And so, to me, that's more like a belief, not something that's tangible for me personally.
I see. And what about you, Aldrich? Anything to add to that? Or?
Well, I'm surprised that Kat didn't go as much sledgehammer as she normally does.
Keep it a PC for the radio, Cat.
Worrying about offending all the psychic vampires who might be listening. No.
Yeah, and, you know, I talk to these people, too, and, you know, they're okay, but as sanguinarians, sanguivores, we tend to look for our own space because for the past... Well, ever since I've been a part of this community, there's always been a squabble between the psychics and the sangs.
I see.
And it's like, I'm more legitimate than you. Real vampires do this. It's very childish.
And the funny thing is that with the fans, with the lifestylers, with the psychics, when you try to go and seek out a medical professional to actually try to get, let's say, results, with all of the rest of the irrational side of things, it's sometimes a difficult challenge.
Yeah, coming from, you know, my angle, which would be somebody that this is very new to, and, you know, somebody who thinks very scientifically, it seems to me, or at least tries to, I don't want to toot my own horn there, it seems to me like if psychic vampirism is real, that we're all some degree of that, and we would choose... to not be that, because I mean, you know, I have dated, and I'm sure a lot of people who have dated me might accuse one another of being psychic vampires. I know it sounds ridiculous, but seriously. You know, if that's a thing, it seems like we would all be sort of feeding off of one another in either a good or a bad way. So I can see where that becomes a very, very gray area as to the reality of, and is that a vampirism or not.
And apparently there's also different levels or different types of psychic vampires. So you have, like, your Tarnark, which is, like, your succubuses. You have your elementals. You have all kinds of different types. I don't know them all, but...
I see. Okay, well, we're coming up on the end of the show here, so... You know, maybe for our listeners, you can tell them some places, if they feel that they are this and need to find out more or get involved in something, can you share with us some places where they could go to do that?
Oh, most definitely. It is kind of a closed community, and you have to get in, but if you're feeling like you may be experiencing something similar to what we're dealing with, the vcmb.org is kind of where I got my start. It's attached to sanguinarius.org. It's a pretty good website to, you know, just start reading through whenever you, if you feel like something is going on. There are others out there as well. I think Sphinx Cat has a webpage. I think it's sphinxcatvp.org. Don't quote me on that. And there are a whole list of other sites that can be quite useful as well.
And I guess my other question while talking about this definitely made me wonder, like, how should a parent deal with a kid who's having these feelings, you know, send them online to look at this, or, I mean, what advice would you give to that? Because most parents would be like, you know, what do I do with this?
My parents struggled with that, but making sure that they understand the ramifications of the actions and that just to be a person to another person and never self-diagnose. That is the dangerous, ugly, dark tunnel. Always seek a doctor and make sure that whatever you're exhibiting lines up before you, make connections.
I see what you're saying. All right, well, thank you guys very much for being on the show. It's been very interesting, and, you know, I really enjoy how sort of straightforward you guys are, very, for lack of a better word, probably more normal than a lot of our listeners would have expected from this.
Probably more normal than most of the people we have on the show, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, very, very down to earth. And I really appreciate you guys sharing your guys' stories with us. All right, you've been listening to Cad and Aldrich here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days.